It was a couple weeks ago. We had a religious pamphlet in our door. And he was inviting us to commemorate the death of Christ on Tuesday the 11th. Well, we all know what we're doing on the 11th, but that's the day they said that's when we should commemorate his death. This is their statement of why it was Tuesday. Although Nisan 1433 CE was a Friday, the anniversary of that date might fall on a different day of the week each year. We determined that the date that Nisan 14 falls each year using the same method as was used at the time of Jesus, rather than applying the method used for the modern Jewish calendar. I really don't know what all that means. Tried looking it up, but I still don't know. Well, unfortunately, they've accepted the conventional way of believing Jesus died before the weekly Sabbath. I'm going to read from an article from our church's article, Beyond Today. It was the good news back then, a few years ago. It was titled Good Friday, Easter Sunday. Says, what few people realize is that the Sabbath spoken here was not the weekly Sabbath, which begins at Friday at sunset and lasts until Saturday at sunset. The Apostle John specifically tells us that the day on which Jesus was crucified immediately preceded a special Sabbath, not the regular weekly Sabbath. Therefore, because it was a preparation day, the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day. The Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. And that is John 19:31. That Sabbath, we see from Scripture, was a high day. In addition to the weekly Sabbath, God also commanded seven holy days or annual Sabbaths, found in Leviticus 23, most of which could fall on a different day of the week. A number of commentaries and Bible helps will tell you that John is here referring to one of those annual Sabbaths rather than the weekly Sabbath. The majority of professing Christians celebrated the resurrection this past Sunday with a blending of pagan Easter traditions, but he was not resurrected on Sunday. They tried to justify the Friday to Sunday as 3 days, three nights, by counting part of Friday as a day and Friday night, Saturday as a day, Saturday night, and then part of Sunday. But it does not add up. It's only two nights at best in this time frame. And Saturday is the only full day. There was no part of Sunday day in this anywhere. When the women came, while it was still dark, Jesus had already risen. If you'll turn to John 20, verse 1. John 20 and verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So it proves there that it's just not what people are saying. That's what the Bible said, that he'd actually risen before that. The truth is the Easter sunrise service actually follows an ancient pagan tradition of celebrating the yearly resurrection of Tammuz by the goddess spelled I-S-H-T-A-R. Most people say Ishtar, but some pronounce it Easter. Tammuz died every winter, according to this tradition, and was resurrected every spring. This resurrection brought about a renewal and mating of animals and birds in the spring and was a fertility celebration. It teaches you nothing about the sacrifice and resurrection of Christ with the frenzy of watching the sunrise and then searching for hidden eggs. The people who left the pamphlet on the door do celebrate with unleavened bread and wine and the wine symbols of the Passover in an attempt to do what's right. They do not celebrate Easter because they understand the pagan origins of it. But on the other hand, not all their members are allowed to participate in the taking of the bread and the wine. That's only for the ones that they deem to be the 144,000 to reign with Christ are permitted. But the rest feel that they will be resurrected to physical but eternal life on earth and not permitted to be part of what Jesus said his followers were to do in commemorating his death with the unleavened bread and wine. Automotive manager where I work said that not required to keep the holy days and that Christ only kept them because he is a Jew. And of course, everyone here has probably been told that once or twice by somebody. And I told him that with that thinking, we'd not be following Christ. I said, and I even told him, I said, well, then you don't need to follow Jesus. And he goes, oh, no, no, you got to follow Jesus. But he wasn't willing to do everything. Do they think Jews who accepted Christ would be required to continue doing what they have always done, but go on Sunday too? If it applied then that Jesus only did these things because he was Jewish, would that still not apply? Years after the death of Christ, what was Paul saying to the Gentile converts? I'll be reading from Philip's translation. It's in 1 Corinthians 5:8. Your pride in your church is lamentable, out of place, lamentably out of place. Don't you know how a little yeast can permeate the whole lump? Clear out every bit of the old yeast that you may be new unleavened bread. We Christians have had a Passover lamb sacrificed for us, none other than Christ himself. So let us keep the feast with unleavened bread and unadulterated truth. They also kept other holy days. Acts 20:16. For Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus so that he would not have to spend time in Asia, for he was hurrying to be in Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost. Later in 1 Corinthians 16:8, he said, but I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost. The word Pentecost means 50, not 50-ish. It's 50 days. It is the morrow after seven Sabbaths, starting with the one that falls in the days of unleavened bread. How could they count this without also celebrating the days of unleavened bread? And I know we used to have a billboard up on the interstate that showed a Mustang smoking the tires, and the caption said Ford Mustang legal-ish. Now I like that. I have no problem with that, you know, maybe bending the rules a little. I didn't mind that part, but not with God's holy days. We can't be doing that. It'd be like us saying, well, we're going to be here Saturday anyway, so why don't we just move Pentecost to Saturday? We could save some time and money. We wouldn't have to come here twice. But you don't do that with God's holy days like they do with Easter. It's always on a Sunday. Maybe a different Sunday year to year, but it's always on a Sunday. The fast is mentioned in Acts 27:9, where Paul warned to not sail because it was after a fast and was getting too late in the year to sail safely. There was no need to reiterate all the holy days in their writings. They only had the Old Testament, and the holy days were clearly spelled out to them. They're basically mentioned from time to time as something everyone be aware of. John 7:1-2 shows that Jesus kept the Feast of Tabernacles. In verse 1, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk where the Jews were, because they sought to kill him. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. In verse 14, now about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up to the temple and taught. It says, we're required to keep the holy days, just as Christ and the early church did. The timing is not left up to chance, but has been faithfully recorded through time. We don't change the days to another day because it might be more convenient, but strive to observe the time set aside by God and observed by Jesus. The scriptures have been carefully searched to show our Savior died before a high Sabbath and not the weekly Sabbath, and that he was a full 3 days and three nights in the tomb before his resurrection. That was another thing the automotive managers tried to justify, the 3 days and three nights from Friday to Sunday, but he didn't quite get that third night in. Turn to John 4:23. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, and the Father is seeking such to worship him. We're now at the end of the celebration of the Feast of Unleavened Bread 2017. With the symbols of removing sin from our lives, because the greatest of sacrifices has already taken place for us around 2,000 years ago. We look forward to the days that continue the saga of the plan of God for all mankind. All this hope is lost in the celebration that most modern professing Christians now keep. They obscure rather than bring out the light of truth. Hold fast to the truths we now hold, and do not become partakers of the sins of the world or the yeast of our old life before conversion and baptism. I just want to close with one last scripture. Turn to 1 Peter 1:15-19. 1 Peter 1:15-19. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, "Be holy, for I am holy." And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Verse 18, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as the Lamb without blemish and without spot. Mr. Gonzalez.
Thank you very much, Mr. Sani. If you all would please rise.